So let's review. The Gemara earlier mentioned the concept of kol da'olam gevar, the stronger party prevails, upon which the Gemara now elaborates. If two parties claim to have inherited property, and as the Rashbam explains, bein karka bein svina, whether real or movable property, and neither has compelling evidence to support his claim, Rav Nachman rules, kol da'olam gevar, the stronger party prevails, as Rashbam later explains, ein bezdin niskokin lahem elamanichim oisam. Bezdin does not get involved and leaves them to resolve it themselves, and the stronger one prevails. Bein berayis bein bekayach, either by strength or with proofs. The Gemara contrasts this ruling with several similar cases. Shnei shtaris hayitzim b'yem echad. If someone wrote two documents on the same day, gifting the same property to two different individuals, there is a machlekes. Rava amar yachleku, they divide the property between them, since they have equal claims. Shmuel amar shuda d'dayni, the court determines which one is probably the intended recipient based on their relationship with the owner. Thus the Gemara asks, as the Rashbam explains, Neimar Rav Nachman chaluka eshuda v'amai amar kol da'olam gevar. If there are these two possible rulings, why does Rav Nachman offer a third ruling called da'olam gevar? The Gemara differentiates as follows. In that case, the two documents are identical, and so it's impossible to resolve this issue. Therefore, Besdin does their best and either divides it equally or attempts to identify the intended recipient. However, in our case, it is possible to later verify who inherited the property, and so Besdin does not issue a ruling based on the current evidence because it might have to be overturned later based on new evidence. Rather, it does not get involved. The Gemara cites a Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia. Hamach lev par b'chamar b'yolda, v'chein ha'meicher shevchasa b'yolda. Someone performed a kinyan to acquire another's pregnant cow or slave woman. Subsequently, it was discovered that they had given birth, but we do not know whether they gave birth before or after the sale was finalized. Ze'emer ad shele mechar t'yolda, v'ze'emer mishlekach t'yolda. The seller claims she gave birth before the sale was finalized, and so he owns the child. And the buyer claims she gave birth after the sale was finalized, and he owns the child. The Mishnah rules, yachloiku, they divide the child between them. And the Rashbam points out, in this case, it is possible to verify through witnesses the exact time when the birth took place, and yet we do not rule kol da'olam gevar. The Gemara differentiates as follows. Hasam lahai isle dar de mamayna, wulahu isle dar de mamayna. They each have a legitimate claim to the child. Therefore, Besdin cannot ignore it and rule kol da'olam gevar. Furthermore, the Rashbam adds, shuda d'dayna lekele memahachi. There's nothing for Besdin to determine, and so the only possible ruling is yachleiku. However, hacha idemar loy demar v'idemar loy demar. One party is the true heir of the property, and the other has no claim. Therefore, Besdin does not get involved and rule kol da'olam gevar. The Gemara elaborates on the ruling of kol da'olam gevar. Amar na'ardai. If a third party comes along and seizes the property without submitting a claim, we do not compel him to return it, since we have no proof that it belongs to either one of the first two litigants. The Nardoi brings support for this ruling from Reb Chiya, who said, Gazlan shel rabim, lav shmei gazlan. One who steals from the public, which in this case, as the Rashbam explains, refers to an item whose ownership is unclear, is not considered a thief, and we do not compel him to return it. However, Rav Ashi disagrees and explains, La'olam shmei gazlan, he is considered a thief, since he did not submit a claim, and we assume it belongs to one of the two claimants, and we do compel him to return it. And Reb Chiya only meant, lo shmei gazlan shle nitin lehi shalvin. He cannot repent and return the stolen item to its proper owner, since he does not know to whom it belongs. He can only return it to the status of kol da'olam gevar, but he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of a heshev es gzeila. The Mishnah stated, cheskasin shal shana miyem liyem. Chazaka for real property is established by normal usage for a period of 3 full years. The Gemara cites an exception. If the previous owner assisted the occupant in taking the produce, this constitutes an immediate chazaka, because if he didn't sell the property, he should be protesting his occupancy, not helping him. Therefore, it is as if he admitted that he sold it to him. However, the Gemara adds, "Imtoin va'amar b'teich shalish l'peiris eradativ neman." During the first 3 years of chazaka, he's believed to say that the occupant was merely a sharecropper, and that is why he was helping him. But la'achar shalish lay, After the occupant established 3 years of chazaka, the previous owner cannot claim that the occupant was a sharecropper because he should have protested earlier and publicized that the occupant was merely a sharecropper. The Gemara proves this principle from the following well-known arrangement. Hani mashkanta de surah. Regarding the collateral agreements practiced in surah, where they would write b'mishlim shenayi ilain, tapik aradab lechesef. The lender consumes the produce of a field of collateral for a certain period of time as payment of the loan, after which it automatically reverts to the original owner. Now, ikavish le'lishtar mashkanta gabei va'amalakuchi hi biyadi hachinami de mehemen. Can the lender simply hide the document and claim to have bought the field based on a chazaka? Certainly not. Because Masakni Rabbanan midi de asabel l'day pseida? Would the Rabbanan enact a practice that could so easily be abused? Apparently, they relied on the fact that this can be prevented by ibay le'limchuye. The owner should protest and publicize their agreement during those years so that it shall be known that the field is not sold to the lender. The Gemara next discusses Yisrael habamach mas'akam hareyu ka'akam. If a Jew buys property from a non-Jew, he shares in his limitations. Ma'akum ein lechazaka el bishtar, af Yisrael habamach mas'akum ein lechazaka el bishtar. If a Jew buys property from a non-Jew who claims to have bought it from another Jew, even if the non-Jew or the Jewish buyer had it for 3 years, they have not established a chazaka. Because as the Rashbam explains, stam akum gazlonim heim b'Yisrael yari limchis. Most non-Jews are suspected of stealing property, and a Jew is afraid to protest publicly. And so leitiknu b'em chazaka. The Rabbanan did not allow non-Jews to establish ownership through chazaka. Therefore, the Jew who bought it from the non-Jew cannot establish ownership through chazaka either, because chazaka she'inu matainahi. His chazaka does not support a valid claim since he does not know if the non-Jew actually bought the property from the previous Jewish owner, and so ihu de'afsid anafshei. He deserves to sustain this loss because lehavale lemizvan ara diyisrael me'akum adalemale havli shtar zavini dezamten la miyisrael. He should not have bought a Jew's property from a non-Jew unless the non-Jew shows him proof that he indeed bought it from the previous Jewish owner. The Gemara adds, Yama Yisrael, Kamei Didi Zavna Akum Minach, V'Zavna Nehali Mehemon. The Jew is believed to say that he witnessed the non-Jew purchase the property from the previous Jewish owner, because Migdi Boyo Omale Anozavintu Minach, he could have used his chazak to claim that he bought it directly from the previous Jewish owner. Therefore, he's obviously telling the truth and witnessed the original purchase.